It's Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 22, looking at verses 15 through 25, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Jesus, Politics, and Worship.
Do not fear him who can kill the body if you're worried about Caesar. Fear him who can kill the body and soul in hell, said Jesus. But have you thought about what God can do for you? Do you know what he can do for you today? What Caesar can't, deliver you from all your sins and save you and justify you and sanctify you and give you glory and eternal life. The Lord has authority over your body and your soul.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
There's all kinds of unjust laws. Who made statements and made claims that were flat out blasphemy. And in keeping here the issue of authority in front of us, you have to think about who is speaking here. The king, the one with all authority. But here's what unbelief does. Here's what unbelief does. It elevates some secondary issue. Important as it may be, this is the tactic of the evil one. Important as it may be, well, don't you care about this? They elevate some issue like that to the place of importance. We should note it carefully. People do it all the time. And here it comes. Why are they doing it? Well, you know why they're doing it. Because again, they're not really addressing the most important issues of life. It's a smokescreen. Here it comes. We have a question for you. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not? Now, I want you to notice what they just did here. This was the hot button issue of the day. These guys would sit around and debate it. They would debate it about taxes and about what the authority of Caesar was and how they were to live under such a thing. And they all came to different conclusions and they debated and they argued about this. And today we essentially have here them trying to drag Jesus into the political debates of the day with a particular goal, that he would say something that would offend major numbers of people. And subject him to the charge of rebellion in Rome, which speedily would get you to the cross. Well, Jesus would go to the cross, just not on their terms, right? Think of this conundrum. There was the capitation tax, which was collected from every adult male in Judea, and it went right into the imperial treasury, right? So in their hands would be Roman coins, and paid into the treasury they were commanded to give to Caesar for his kingdom. Now, what made matters all the worse is that it was believed by the Romans, in the Roman world, that Caesar, in all matters, was divine. Now, I've never heard President Biden or Trump really claim that, have you? I'm divine. Imagine living under that. I possess all authority and worship. Here are the Jews in whose land? It's our land. And are subject to these Gentiles? And this is what they believed about their God, right? They were Jewish nationalists. They wanted their land back. They wanted theocracy back. They were waiting for this. They were expecting the Messiah to do this. But to throw money in his pot? That's to accept his claims. And it's to give indirect legitimacy to his government. And these were wicked emperors throughout history. Just read their history if you don't believe it. The zealots said, we're not paying. If it were our day, they would take picket signs and march around the tax office. Taxation is not better than downright slavery, as it's been said, right? This was clever. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay up or shall we not? Now, Jesus knows this is a big trap that they have really tried to get him into to support giving to a kingdom here, giving to the kingdom of Caesar. But if they could get him to say, don't pay, they could get the charge of rebellion against Rome and be done with him. This is exactly, by the way, the charge they make at the cross. Remember when they were taking him to the cross? And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king. So, that's a direct lie, by the way. So they want to catch him in all the political issues of the day. This is what they want to do. Anything they can find to not have to deal with a great claim of authority over their own lives. His rule, which is ironic, isn't it? This is God's son. This is the king. This is the king. Now, Jesus was constantly being pulled into this. Remember, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to them this, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Think of the trap really for pastors today in the environment that we're in. Pastor, why don't you speak to this? Why don't you focus on this? What about our government and the abuses? Why don't we hear from you more about this? These are the kind of conundrums that always confront us. And if you want to see how divided everyone is, you know, these are the issues that everyone uses to do the same thing the Pharisees did to Jesus, to divide up the church because they don't want to listen to the message. They don't want to get to the core issues. Or if you want to take it away from politics, pastor, you don't really believe, do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a fish? What was that creature that swallowed him? Tell us your position on the sun standing still. Not unimportant issues, I guess. People today have more interest in the stock market and baseball than the issues regarding their eternal destinies. And it shows it all the time. You live this all the time. As the concerned pastor says, I get you twice a week in preaching. Do you know that there's an eternal judgment coming? You see, when people don't believe, this is what they do. They create sad diversions from the real issues of life. Well, Jesus in verse 16, knowing their malice, why do you put me to the test? This is what Israel always did to God. That's a loaded question. Jesus won't let it happen. He never let us avoid dealing with the main issues of life. And I believe that's why this is so important this morning. Other issues are important. Don't get me wrong. Christians are interested in politics. Christians are interested in these things. They have to be citizens of this kingdom. They have to be salt and light. We are interested in these things. But Jesus is setting priorities here. And notice how he does it. Bring me a denarius. I want to see it. The wisdom of our Lord is amazing here. So they bring him a denarius and probably put it right in his hand. Yes, it's an amazing thought. Jesus holds up the denarius and says, whose inscription is this? On one side, it had Caesar's head. I have coins in my study that have Caesar's head on it from the first century. And the other side shows typically a seated female, his wife, is what they would do. Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of divine Augustus, read the coin, claiming that Augustus was a god. This is in his hand, right? This is in his hand. And isn't that the point? Does he recognize that authority? Does he recognize Caesar? Not as God, of course. Well, Jesus gives a fascinating statement. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled. What inscription is on that coin? What did Jesus say? Pay your taxes. Very simply, pay your taxes. Those coins belong to Caesar and his kingdom. Pay your taxes. You should render what is Caesar's and give it to him, what belongs to him. And what Jesus just said to them, if they really stopped and pondered it, which it seems they might have here because they marveled, is, yes, Caesar has an authority. Embedded in this is the recognition, by the way, in great providence, guess where we land tonight, is Romans 13 on pay your taxes. I didn't set that up. But think about it carefully. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's. What is Caesar's? What is Caesar's? What Jesus is saying is you're concerned and you're fighting over all your energy. You're giving all your energy over what belongs to Caesar, fighting against Caesar or finding the right Messiah to conquer him and paying taxes to him. Is that not the very thing to this day we're still complaining about? The times are bad. Politics is awful. The situations are all evil. You know, the wise person says, it's always been this way. It's always been this way. Have you ever read the history of Israel? The first century was abusive. Every generation has moaned in their moment about the state of things. Oh, it's so evil these days. We've got to do something about Caesar. What's he collecting from you, says Jesus? Ready for the answer? It's just money. How you respond to that might indicate where you are. Caesar collects money. And if Romans 13 matters, these authorities are ministers of God to maintain peace and order. We'll look at that tonight. But in this statement, Jesus is capturing the limits of what Caesar can collect. That's the point. Great limits. Great limits. His kingdom is limited. His kingdom is temporary. And it's powerless to deliver you in what matters the most. Isn't that the point? What can Caesar really do for you? Really, think about it. So give it to him. What does all this obsession with him and all this interest in him and all this interest over interest in politics really say about you? That we're avoiding the real issues of life. And people in all their interest in politics are looking for what? What Israel always looked for. What did Israel always look for? A king. Like all the other nations. But who's standing in front of them? Their king. Who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And they're refusing him. Just like Israel of old did. Now you can understand the question, right? And the answer. Render to God the things that are God's. Isn't that the most important issue of the text this morning? Everyone's talking about what belongs to Caesar. Everyone's worked up about Caesar. Everyone's worked up about who's in political office, Biden or Trump. Who's talking about what belongs to God? Where's that in the discourse, right? What belongs to God? Who's concerned about that? Let's talk about it. No, not very interested are people. What is God's? Is he just after your money? He's not after your money. He doesn't need your money. It's all his. If a coin has Caesar's image on it, what has God's image on it? You. You. He put his image on us. Here were all these image bearers who weren't giving anything that belonged, that was God's, that belonged to him. See the brilliance of this? You see the utter brilliance of this? He turned them back to the real issue on priorities. And to me, beloved, it seems like such a gracious reply, one to just ponder and think about. What do you think life's about? What do you think life's all about? Money? Do you think your life is just meant to be lived independently? Were you not made for a purpose? Do you have value? Of course you have value. What do you really need? And do you know you bear his image, that he made you in his image? And they're worried about whether they should give money to Caesar, but have they ever thought about what belongs to God? You don't give to God what is God's by hating his son. You don't give to God what is God's by having no faith in his son. The gift he gave to the world. That's what the parable was all about. They want to kill his son. Is it so wrong to say that we're living at a moment of greatest distraction I've ever seen in my 48 years of life over Caesar? Over politics? I've never seen such debate, such fear, such worry about the future, such fear of losing our country, such anger, such camps divided among Christians that I've ever witnessed in my life at this moment. Now, it's always been this way, but things come in cycles, and this is quite a moment. You've been told your whole life your home is not of this world. You've been told that the things of this age are passing away. You've been told that Christ's kingdom is eternal. You've been told to set your minds on things above. Our heart is on what? Do not fear him who can kill the body if you're worried about Caesar. Fear him who can kill the body and soul in hell, said Jesus. But have you thought about what God can do for you? I think this is the most mind-perplexing response to close this out and come to the supper. You know what he can do for you today? What Caesar can't. Deliver you from all your sins and save you and justify you and sanctify you and give you glory and eternal life. This king can actually help you. This king actually takes interest in you. This king dines with you. Caesar has very limited authority, beloved. The Lord has authority over your body and your soul. So we should make primary in life what? His worship, faith in his promises. We should give to God those things. We should care about repentance. We should make central to Christianity without pretenses the gospel of Jesus Christ to save people from sins. That's what should be primarily on our lips as Christians. And if you look down to the end of this chapter, then you'll find the last test is over love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Christ is our champion today. And the most pressing issue of your life and my life is whether we have repented and believe the gospel of the kingdom and come to this king who's a gracious king, who's a loving king, who cares about you, who actually, Caesar doesn't care about you. Donald Trump does not care about you, ultimately. He cannot deliver you. Only Christ can. Don't avoid the most important issues of your life. Render to him the glory that's due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He came on a mission. Rome, the U.S., its problems are important, but not nearly as important as your souls. And Christ cares a lot more about that, because he already has a new kingdom planned for us, heavens and earth. Repent and believe in him. And here's the tie today. Donald Trump cannot save you from hell. Jesus can. Render to him the glory due to his name. He is God. He is King. You are his image bearers. Your devotion and response and faith to this King who has loved you is what he's calling you to. And today, he says to you who believe, come, eat and drink. What king, think about this, what king gave his body and his blood so that you may live eternally with him in a new heavens and new earth where righteousness shall dwell? Come, come to me, says Jesus. Eat and drink, taste and see that I am good. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, thank you for this, and thank you for instructing us in your way. We confess, oh Lord, that so often we give all of our attention and devotion in the course of our weeks to things, Lord, in the big picture that will not matter. And even in these things that are important in this age, and we do care about these things, we ask that our priorities would be as Jesus instructs us. For we will give to Caesar what he asks us to give in money. But most of all, O Lord, may we respond in faith, giving glory to God as image bearers. For this belongs to God, the God of our deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning into us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris as he continues his series in the book of Matthew. Thanks again. Until next time.